Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true transparency pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
This is the Wake Up Zone, powered by All Four Seasons Garage Doors, with Mark Howard, Blaine Bishop, and Kevin Ingram.
Told you. Welcome back. 104.5 The Zone, the Wake Up Zone. We're powered by All Four Seasons Garage Doors. You want professional installation and repair from a family-owned and operated business when it comes to your garage door, you visit allfourseasonsgarages.com/Nashville. In the house from Sports Illustrated, SI.com, David Beauclair. What's going on this morning?
You know, I can't help but wonder. I'm sure you guys have noticed this. And I've seen it all year long. Get out of the car in the parking lot, and there's this apartment across the street that has the two flags hanging from the balcony, one a Tennessee Titans flag, one a Pittsburgh Steelers flag. And I can't help but wonder, is that
– Schaefer live there?
It's my apartment.
Exactly. Is that two people living there, like, in holy war right now over the conference standings, or is it or is it one person figuring – You know what? I can't lose either way right now the way the standings are going. Because, of course, Pittsburgh currently has the last wild card spot in the AFC. Right. And the only other at 7-5, the only other 7-5 team in the AFC is Tennessee.
There's also a Clemson flag that hangs from one of these balconies over here, too, that I've noticed for years.
Yeah.
David, by the way, is
somebody from Pittsburgh that moved here.
Yeah, and you know Pittsburgh's been their team forever, and they're kind of supporting the hometown.
Yeah, I'm curious. I'm just curious what's going on in that apartment right now.
And David, by the way, is brought to you by the Tennessee Lottery. Go by your nearest Tennessee Lottery retailer, pick up some of those holiday instant games today. Want to join us? 615-737-1045.
Folk, last week, of course, you know the Titans. You know maybe the timing was right because the Colts were so banged up. But what about the situation they face Sunday? Raiders are coming off a terrible two-game road trip.
Terrible.
They've won their last four games at home. Derek Carr is 3-0 against the Titans lifetime. I mean, that doesn't always mean a whole lot. But is this a really tough spot for the Titans coming off that Colts game, going to the West Coast for a critical, critical game against the Raiders?
You know, we should point out that Ryan Tannehill is 3-0 against the Raiders in his career, though, too. And each of them, 6 touchdowns, 1 interception in those particular games, too. Carr against the Titans,
nice.
Tannehill against the Raiders. So there's the neutralizing factor there. Yeah, I mean, two terrible games on the road for the Raiders, who seem to be sinking right now, and who haven't had a very good pass defense. And that's one thing that should be it should be noted that. When the Titans changed quarterbacks, they did so at a very good time for whoever would be getting to play, which in this case is Ryan Tannehill, because they have played some bad pass defenses, and Oakland is another one right now. So, Blaine can talk about this as well as anybody. That's just a tough place to play out there. It's kind of an old stadium, the fact that it's a baseball stadium a lot of the time,
like
it's designed weird. At times of the year, you've got the dirt of the infield. At this time, you've got sod laid over the dirt of the, which players were talking about it yesterday, can be kind of slippery. And then
I had to change cleats every time we play there.
The fans are very much a factor at that place. It's just, the simple fact is that the Titans win this game, their playoff chances are suddenly greatly enhanced. So it's a huge spot for them.
Win over Oakland, their playoff chances increased to 52%.
Yeah.
A loss 20%. Other thing about Tannehill, interesting hearing from Doug Marrone, the Jacksonville coach, who saw him a lot when he coached against him when he was at Buffalo, just talking about that Tannehill is really a different guy. He's more mature. He's more confident. He's throwing the ball better. A lot of the stuff that we've seen, but just hearing it from another coach. And, you know, Mike Tannenbaum, you know, who, you know, works for ESPN, former GM of the Dolphins, who predicted that Tannehill would be the starting quarterback of the Titans in either week six or week seven. But he's also saying, he goes, listen, he's not an elite quarterback. He's not Aaron Rodgers, but he's a very good quarterback. He can get you to the playoffs. And that's really what we're seeing right now. And he too said he's more confident. You know, he's making, you know, better throws. He's making better decisions. And you know, can we expect to see this moving forward, or is Tannehill just playing so far over his head that eventually he's going to regress to the mean?
Well, I mean, the thing, number one, he's not having to throw the ball a whole lot right now. You know, it's not like he's throwing it 30 times a game and just carving up defenses. I mean, he is taking advantage of the fact that that Derrick Henry is on a roll again, and so I think that helps. And let's be honest about this too. You know, this is not unprecedented in the NFL where, you know, guys who were high first round picks maybe didn't work out as well with their first team, whether it was that team, whether it was just time and maturity, whatever it was. But, you know, Jim Plunkett comes to mind, and, you know, the guy was a bust with the Patriots in his early years, ends up winning a couple Super Bowls with the Raiders. You know, Trent Dilfer, recent Nashville resident Trent Dilfer didn't exactly have a great time in Tampa Bay, and then, you know, goes to Baltimore and is part of a Super Bowl team there where, you know, he certainly wasn't the focus of that team, but he was.
Brad Johnson was another one.
Brad Johnson, yeah. Rich Gannon didn't win a Super Bowl, but, you know, that guy was just, what, a journeyman until he was about 32, 33 years old, I think, and then, you know, put good years together. So maybe it is. Maybe it's just Tannehill's time. But again, we'll have to see. I think to your question, Mark, when he gets in a situation where he has to throw it 40 times, and, you know, it turns into a 41-38 kind of game. You know, can he keep making those throws over and over again in that situation? I'd like to see that at this point, but he certainly has made a difference. That's for sure.
Well, sticking with the Tannehill deal, you know, what about the offensive line? We were talking about, they're giving up the same amount of sacks as the six games compared to six games with Marcus played. But so you have to attribute it all to the running game as well as the Tannehill, because the sack numbers are pretty much close to the same.
Yeah, and I mean, it looked miserable in the first half Sunday. So the offensive line,
are they playing better? Or are they just still playing the same?
Yeah, I don't think they're playing significantly better. I think he's made them look better at times by being a little more decisive back there than Marcus was. You know, the other side of that is the NFL.com keeps a stat on the offensive line called power, which is just basically conversion rate on third and fourth down and two or fewer, plus first and second and goal from the two or in. And, you know, Titans are one of six teams that has converted 80% or better in those situations. You know, so, like, it's not like this is a terrible offensive line. This is an offensive line that's good at what it's good at, which is moving people that way and creating holes to run the football and what have you. It's just not a great pass-blocking unit, and that's, you know, I think that's probably a big part of why Tannehill hasn't had to throw it so much the last couple games either, because coaches know it's not a good recipe for success for this bunch.
Well, the recipe has been running naturally. So let's say Henry continues this run, and then maybe he goes up and down a roller coaster ride, but he finishes with
1,315 yards and no touchdowns in a game.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah. Well, you know, he rushes at the end of the season at 1,350 or whatever it is. Okay. You know, what are you as an organization and a GM going to do as far as your signing? What's the ceiling for signing a guy like that? When, you know, a lot of people come to watch Derrick Henry play. And he's a focal point, actually, of the offense.
It's a great question. And I don't get the sense that Derrick Henry's a guy interested in giving a hometown discount either, you know, and especially at that position. I would think most running backs wouldn't be. You know, running back, we've talked about it. You've got to go get your money when you can get your money, because it's not like he's going to get a third and fourth big contract. Right. I mean, this is going to be his shot. So I don't think there's any doubt that it's in his best interest to go out and test the market. And can the Titans match or exceed whatever people are going to throw at them? And where is that line? John Robinson has given the indication that, you know, he's very clear going into every offseason, this is what I want to spend at particular
place of value in every player, you know, no doubt.
And will, you know, can he be forced to move from that? I don't know. It's going to be the most interesting. I think it's more interesting than the quarterback situation right now in terms of the offseason issues with this team.
We'll continue this on the other side. 7:12 the time on 104.5 The Zone. Visiting with David Beauclair from SI.com. He is brought to you by the Tennessee Lottery. 615-737-1045. I'd like to join us here. Blaine, tell us about Tennessee, if you don't mind.
Yes, there are a lot of CBD products out there, and you're trying to figure out which one do you want to trust, right? Well, I trust Tennessee CBD products because they have a patent-pending university-developed formula of CBD in each product. I've been taking Tennessee for a while now, and I feel great. Many years of playing in the NFL gave me aches and pains that I live with daily, but thanks to Tennessee, I feel a lot better. Everything about Tennessee is local to Middle Tennessee. Even the plants that are used, they are Tennessee grown, making a Middle Tennessee company through and through. You can feel confident using Tennessee. There are several different ways to try them. There are so many different types of oils. The one I use is Salve that helps my achy finger. Everybody's seen that I've had surgery on. Even lotions you rub on when you get through working out that help those sore muscles feel a lot better. So to learn more about Tennessee, go to Tennessee.com. Yes, that's TANASI.com. That's TANASASI.com today.
.718-1045 The Zone. Welcome back to the Wake Up Zone, powered by All Four Seasons Garage Doors, and our Thursday morning chat with David Beauclair from SI.com. Brought to you by the Tennessee Lottery. If you're looking for that perfect gift or stocking stuff for this holiday season, say you're going to stop by a party for 3 or 4 minutes, give the gift of fun this year with holiday instant games from the Tennessee Lottery. Go by your nearest Tennessee Lottery retailer. Pick up some today. Got a question for David? Titans related, 615-737-1045 or on Twitter at WUZ1045. Kind of to go back to what we were talking about right before the break, Blaine asked you the question about Derrick Henry and how you sort that out in the offseason. How do you look at all these sorts of things that are on the horizon? Kind of maybe some of it depends or doesn't depend on how the season ends as far as the quarterback and the running back for John Robinson.
Yeah, you're starting to see national media people talk about Ryan Tannehill and the franchise tag now, which is really, you know, a couple weeks ago we were talking, well, maybe they can re-sign him, you know, for $15 to $20 million, you know, apparently that's going to be out the window now. That's not going to happen. So I would think that, it's very much a moving target for the Titans right now because I mean, I'm sure the Titans were thinking too, okay, we're not going to need to spend, you know, premium money on a quarterback next year. And now they're sort of in that situation, assuming that they want Tannehill back here. And, you know, why wouldn't you at this point? Although I will say this, you know, one thing that I don't know how many people realize, you know, Ryan Tannehill was a part of one playoff team in his years in Miami, and he got hurt at the end of that year and hasn't even ever played in a playoff game. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's still that out there. And if the Titans can make it, you know, how will he play in that particular situation? I actually asked Tannehill about it yesterday, you know, just knowing that possibility is out there. He wouldn't, you know, I got the trying to get better every day kind of answer, but that's gotta be a huge deal to him right now. I'm thinking about, you know, finally I'm gonna have a chance to do this.
How much do you think that he, I guess, going into games influences Arthur and him collaborating on the plays that they use in game throughout the week?
I asked Arthur 2 weeks ago, as a matter of fact. I said, how much quicker are those end of the week discussions now? Because, you know, every quarterback and coordinator has them. This is what I like for this week. This is what I don't like. Yeah. And it wasn't a clear, concise answer, but basically what Arthur Smith said was, yes, we're getting more and more comfortable with each other all the time, and I don't have to ask about every single play now. I know the things that he likes. I know the things he does well. I think they're building a real good rapport right now, and I think that's part of, you know, that's been an interesting development in all this too, is we're getting a better look at Arthur Smith as a coordinator.
Well, he's going too, as well.
You know, as mm-hmm. you know, in terms of, because Titans have been much better on third down, you know, those sorts of things.
And money in the red zone.
You know, money in the red. I mean, they've gone for in that since Tannehill's taken over. They've gone from 19th in the league in red zone efficiency to first. That's, I mean, if you're looking for one stat that tells the story of why things have gone the way they have the last few weeks, that might be it right there. And that's, you know, but I think when a quarterback executes the plays and the coordinator can string together 6, 8, 9, 10 calls in a row and, you know, build drive and set up things for later in the game and whatnot, you get a better sense of who that coordinator is. And we're finally getting to see some of that from Arthur Smith. And he looks pretty confident and pretty comfortable to me right now.
Also, too, the cause and effect that the change in quarterbacks has had on Derrick Henry. First six games, he averaged 3.7 yards per carry. Since Tannehill's been the starter, 6.1 yards per carry, and he's put up, you know, huge numbers the last 3 weeks. And they talk about the next gen stats. 20% of the time in the first six games of the year, Henry faced eight or more men in the box, and defensive coordinators have backed out of stuff in the box because Tannehill's been so effective as a passer, especially the last few games.
But you're also starting to hear, too, that Tannehill has done a better job making line calls, to, you know, with the check with me stuff,
yeah.
Where – you know, he's getting the Titans out of bad run plays, you know, or run plays that are bad before the ball is snapped, kind of thing, better than Mariota is. Better than Mariota did. So that's that's one of those things. And you wonder about, you know, the fact that Tannehill got to sit for 6 weeks and just sort of watch and take it all in for the first time in his career. You know, I do think for most guys that sort of experience in a small dose can help and sort of provide some clarity. And you kind of wonder what Mariota will be like after this, you know, after this season, and what kind of benefit it's going to be to him. Because it's got to be, I mean, there's no question he's a team guy. He's happy things are going well. You know, Tannehill's a good guy. I'm sure he's rooting for Ryan Tannehill. All of that, but there's got to be a small part of Marcus Mariota looking at this going, good golly, that looks a lot better than when I was out there. Why, you know, why couldn't I do that? You know, and if you can, you know, if you can honestly ask yourself, why couldn't I do that? And sort of search for the answers. I got to figure you're going to be a better player for it on the other side.
Or is he saying that's how you do that?
Yeah.
Now, why couldn't I?
Yeah.
You know, remember now when he became the starter, he was the guy from the beginning.
Right.
See, so he never had somebody to model, look at, and see how this is how it's supposed to be done. As far as on field and adjustments and taking responsibility, this is your team, this is your offense, and making checks, as you're talking about. And maybe Marcus was more so, well, this is what the coach said. And then once you get out there, it's now your team. The coach is on the side.
Yeah.
I really believe that. So I think he will be a better player.
And you've heard some of that about Tannehill, too, where he, you know, who was it? A.J. Brown, I think, was saying, you know, he gets in the huddle and says, this is the play we're going to run. A.J., this is where the ball's going to be. You be looking for it. And he says, and the ball's right there where, you know, like he injects this enthusiasm in this, you know, like you're saying, the coach is on the sideline. Ryan Tannehill knows it's his team in the huddle there. And, yeah, you're right. You know, Mariota seeing some of that, too, because Mariota's personality is such that he can, you know, he has guys' attention.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know that he has taken full advantage of that attention. Mm-hmm. And you're right. That might be a real good thing.
How do you sort out the offensive line play, though? Because, essentially, Mariota was sacked 25 times, and when you add it all up, Tannehill's been sacked 24.
Yeah.
And it was interesting hearing Vrabel in his press conference and on Kuharski's website, Blake Bedingfield, both said the same thing, and that was that Tannehill held the ball too long sometimes and the receivers didn't get open. And then Next Gen stats showed that that 20% of the that on 70-something percent of the snaps, Tannehill held the ball for 2.5 seconds or longer, which, you know, 2.5 is the optimal, you know, time that a quarterback needs to get rid of the ball. Now, we know, too, you hang on to the ball longer, plays develop more downfield, and apparently Tannehill was 10 for 14 on those throws. His quarterback rating was 141. So how do you sort out all of this where there's sort of a risk-reward aspect to it?
Yeah, it's a good question. I looked last week. I thought about that, too. I was looking at an analytics website, and I thought, you know, let me find release time because clearly Tannehill's getting the ball out quicker than Mariota, and I want to see how much more. And it was like less than 0.2 seconds difference, you know, which is a difference, but it certainly wasn't as big a difference as I thought it was. And, I guess the only thing I can say is, you know, you're not going to change dramatically who you are right now at this point in the season. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. And Tannehill's passing numbers are so good right now. You keep doing the same things and just hope he doesn't get killed back there on one of the times he does get sacked.
David Beauclair is our guest. If you'd like to join us, 615-737-1045. Talking Titans this hour. David covers the team for SI.com, Sports Illustrated. Take a look at his outstanding work there. More of our show coming up next. We're powered by All Four Seasons Garage Doors. We'll also examine our Twitter poll question, which was a fun one this morning. Talk about that when we come back. Blaine's going to tell us first about New Life Medical, if you would.
Yes, being the former NFL pro safety, I want to talk to my fellow men about hair loss. Some of my friends were shaving their head because the bald spot was getting larger. The hair was getting thinner, and it started to affect their confidence. Age is something everyone deals with, but what really got my attention is when a few of my friends were able to completely reverse their hair loss and get back to a full head of hair. An amazing transformation in the way they look and that their confidence came back. They said their secret is medical hair restoration. If you're concerned about hair loss, my friends at New Life Medical in Brentwood have state-of-the-art options for you to consider. They use safe, minimally invasive procedures to restore your hair with proven results. The hair you'll grow back will look and feel natural, because it is. In fact, your family and friends will not even notice you had something done, but will notice that your hair looks great. So if you're curious if medical hair restoration is the right option for you, text the word new hair, all one word, new hair, to 313131. Yes, that's right. New hair. NEWHAIR to 313131 right now.
This is the Wake Up Zone. We're powered by All Four Seasons Garage Doors. Mark Howard and Blaine Bishop, Kevin Ingram, Jonathan Schaefer, and our guy David Beauclair is brought to you by the Tennessee Lottery. Give the gift of fun this year. Holiday instant games with the Tennessee Lottery. Go by your nearest Tennessee Lottery retailer. Pick up some today. Let's take a phone call. Mike in the borough has been hanging out for a while. Mike, how you doing this morning? Mike, are you there?
Michael.
Yes, sir.
Ah, gotcha.
What do you got for us this morning?
Yes, sir. My question was related to the college playoffs. With Alabama not making it this year, do you think that's going to push the agenda to send the playoffs 18?
No.
So if Alabama can't be in there, we got to expand.
Yeah, exactly. Thanks for saying. If they lose three games, let's make it 16.
Right. You have to make it 12 this year.
Well, it's all about Alabama, man. The ratings are going to plummet.
Oh, man. Dennis Dodd, by the way, wrote a great column that the playoff needs new blood. So you got to kind of root for Oregon or Utah.
I will say that. I think it does too. Or Baylor. Remember the thing that's fascinating to me, and I don't hear it enough in all the national conversation about this, is when the college football playoff was formed, don't ever forget this, the mandate was four teams, and I quote, with an emphasis on conference champions. Mm-hmm. So all the rankings leading up to these last ones are these are the best teams. When it comes to this week, that committee sits down and looks at the conference champions first and says, are these conference do we have four conference champions worthy of being in this playoff? Not necessarily are they the best four teams, but are they worthy of being in this playoff?
Yeah.
And that's like Utah, for example. If Utah wins, Utah's in the playoff.
What about if Oklahoma and Utah win? They're both conference champions.
What if Georgia wins?
If Oklahoma and Utah are both one loss, well, if Georgia, yeah, what if
Georgia wins? The four teams
Georgia
are set,
wins, that yeah. screws everything up for it. That would be entertaining. Yes,
yeah, but who would you pick over Utah?
Because you can't kick LSU out.
No, the four are set. Like if Georgia beat LSU and Ohio State and Clemson win, then that's going to be the four, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
because you can't dump LSU out of there.
I'll give you that.
But if you know the chalk holds for the top three, then what do you do with that four spot? I think that's going to be really interesting to see how all that sorts out.
Mm, how do you put Utah over Oklahoma or vice versa? Yeah. And you know the name is going to come into play, Oklahoma Sooner Schooner.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Utah's got some pretty impressive metrics.
Oh, I like
though,
that. I like their
in
play.
Terms of you know their margin of wins mm-hmm. and like the quality of their wins. I was reading up on them a little bit yesterday. Yeah. It's gonna be a fun Saturday. I'm looking forward to this one.
Back to the Titans. Yes. Before we go to the phones, the magic of special teams is really amazing, isn't it? Because it skews the stats. It does so many things, but special teams play big plays, just throw dynamite, into a game, and we saw that with the field goal block. And the Titans have been able to steal two games because of special teams, because they block kicks. And that is such a great quality for a team, and in a lot of ways can be the great equalizer. I mean, you know, Kansas City all of a sudden had a basket case, as did Indianapolis, in terms of the kicking game. And when that stuff starts, Bokey, you know it's like having a bad bullpen. It infects the rest of the team. And the Titans have used it to their advantage. It'll be interesting to see what they can do moving forward.
And don't forget Darren Bates' forced fumble against Jacksonville that opened the floodgates in that game on the kickoff. You know,
play.
It's all part of that, because all those guys play. You know, the Dane Cruikshanks and the Imani Hookers and the Darren Bateses and the David Longs. You know, they play on all those units, and it just sort of feeds off each other. And it goes the other way, too, when you look at Adoree Jackson's fumbled punt in week three against Jacksonville. Mm-hmm. You know, how that just sucked the life out of the Titans in that game, and they never really recovered from that. It has become a real asset to this team right now. And I'm with you, Mark. I was thinking about it the other day. If you're a special teams coach and the head coach, you know, if you're John Gruden right now and his special teams coach, you are pulling your hair out looking at these kick blocks and things and trying to figure out what you're going to do to keep the Titans away from your kicker this week.
And you could see the preparation. And it was great talking to Coach Mack, by the way, about this too. And, you know, just the preparation, the Titans, you know, overloading that left side. And because of, you know, what Kalu did against Kansas City, you know, they were more worried about the outside rush than the D-gap, the inside rush, and Cruikshank got him. So you're right. It does have a carryover effect every week where teams all of a sudden, you know, are looking for leaks in their protections on field goals.
And then creating other leaks because, as a result.
Because, believe me, in a field goal league like the NFL, when you think you're getting three and the other team ends up getting seven, it has a traumatic effect on your football team.
Yeah. All they need is a big return now.
Yeah.
I guess real quickly, I guess I want to ask you about the receivers. I know Corey Davis didn't practice as well. I hope that's just a rest day. Him and Adam Humphries.
It's not injury related,
that's good.
Telling what that
Are
means.
We starting to see that maybe Brown is the number one receiver?
I
know we as media guys, I always want to put this label on the players. Who's the number one target? Who's not? And all that, but it just seems Corey Davis caught the ball. He ran like he was a man on fire, and he was hot, and he was passionate, and he did a really good job. But he just seems like he's not getting a lot of targets every game. Is it because he's not open, or just because he's not part of the game plan, or just they just kind of him and Tannehill just not on the same page all the time?
It's targets for one, but to me, I track I track snaps every week. I do. Mm-hmm. I do a story every week where I look at the snaps played. And a couple times early in the season, I wrote about the fact, well, maybe he's not catching the passes you think he should be or whatnot. But Corey Davis is still unquestionably the number one receiver, because every single week through the first six, seven games of the season, whatever it was, Corey Davis played more snaps than every other wide receiver, and it usually wasn't even close.
So like snaps are telling you that he's the number one receiver.
Because he's on the field, he's in the game plan for everything they're doing. That's what it's telling me. You go to this past Sunday, A.J. Brown, 53 out of 59 snaps, 90% of them. Corey Davis played 40.
Uh-oh.
That tells me that when the coaches are putting together their route combinations, whatever they're doing, they start with, okay, A.J. Brown, we've got him on the field. Mm-hmm. And now what do we do after that? I don't think there's any question A.J. Brown is now the guy among
them. It becomes a meritocracy. It doesn't matter where you were drafted, how long you played.
Right, no doubt.
To the coaches,
it's about production.
Trust the coach. Yep.
Uh-huh. It's about production now at this point, yeah. Yep.
And it doesn't hurt that he is huge by wide receiver standards and apparently knows how to use that bulk in blocking cornerbacks and safeties down the field when Derrick Henry's running too. So, you know, that's a part of it as well, even beyond the, you know, the things that show up with his catch numbers.
742, SI's David Beauclair is with us. We're talking Titans. More of your questions when we come back. 615-737-1045 is the number. Let's roll down I-40. Wilson County, the destination. We have Mitchell Bone joining us now, Mark.
That's right. Wilson County Automotive Family, a Bone family tradition since 1927. That includes Wilson County Chevrolet, Buick, and GMC. And this guy deserves the maximum amount of snaps. Mitchell Bone, because he gets it done. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you today, Mark?
Great. And I know there are great values all over the place on your lot, but what about the 2019 sell-off?
Yeah, we're ending 2019 with a huge bang. We've still got several 2019s, a whole bunch of them, matter of fact, and we've got $500 below employee pricing on just about every single one of them. That means you pay $500 below what a GM employee would normally pay on all of those 2019s that are involved in the sale, and it's a huge number of vehicles that you can find online, of course, at WilsonCountyMotors.com. Select your perfect vehicle. Come see us this weekend. We're at exit 236 off I-40 in Lebanon, just 20 minutes east of the Nashville Airport.
Hoover Sutherland is not part of the sell-off, is he?
No, we're not letting Hoover go.
Okay, keep him in the building. That's important, Mitchell. Have a good day.
Sure. You too.
All right, that's Wilson County Chevrolet, Buick, and GMC. They can't let Mr. Excitement go. Great people, great deals, fantastic service in nearby Lebanon.
749 on 104.5 The Zone, the Wake Up Zone, powered by All Four Seasons Garage Doors. We have our friend David Beauclair in the house from SI.com. He is brought to you by the Tennessee Lottery.
Spitting out knowledge.
Dropping knowledge.
Yeah, dropping knowledge. Beauclair, you have to tell us some more knowledge here about the receiver position. This just blew my mind. We were talking about A.J. Brown now getting more snaps and more targets. Kind of, he's turned into the number one guy, or at least for Tannehill anyway. Over Corey Davis, who missed practice. I don't know, you know, why he missed. Yeah, he might have been a rest day.
He missed the game before the bye, the Kansas City game.
He had a hip
game,
issue
and,
or something.
And since then, it's been, beginning with that game, it's been the A.J. Brown show.
Yeah, but you were telling me something about Mr. Hollister there, yeah, who little, has a twin brother that plays for the Seahawks, right? Tight end.
Cody,
I had no idea, but I liked him in training camp. And I said, oh, man, this guy, I like his length. I like the way he catches the ball. I remember the Eagles game. That's where he stood out when they played a lot of backup guys for a long period of time. You could really see, you know, he has some potential. But talk about him, I guess, and how many plays he played and everything.
His second appearance of the season, second appearance of his career, actually. Mm-hmm. Played a couple weeks ago, just on special teams. played just on special teams a few weeks back. But was on the field with the offense for two snaps on Sunday.
Two snaps,
caught two passes for 13 yards. Now, to me, that's...
Two targets!
That's impressive. A guy who's way down on the depth chart, steps on the field for two plays and the quarterback sees him both times. I mean, that blows me away. And
what, two, you know, for
we were
13,
talking about Corey Davis again, you know, and not to bang on Corey too hard here, but you know, I mentioned Corey Davis played 40 snaps in that game. Corey Davis was targeted two times and had one catch.
They're doubling him. We can now go to the college.
if you're Corey
Ooh,
Davis,
I'm living right now. If you're I'm Corey
Davis, you're sitting in that room right now, looking around, going, "What in the world is going on here?"
And that may lead to why he was running the way he was running after that catch against the Colts. Yeah. He was running like Derrick Henry. Now he was like, "I'm not going out of your way. I'm going at you. I'm gonna run you over." That is not the mentality of a wide receiver, trust me.
Usually the catch ball, get out of bounds, whatever.
Let me outrun you, juke you. He was like, nope, I'm running you over. Okay. So we're going to hit these callers.
Okay, first. Yeah, let's do that.
Courtney in Waco, Texas. Good morning, you're on the zone.
Waco. Hey, guys. First of all, I just want to say I appreciate all you guys, man. I'm here in Texas, and we don't get a lot of Titans talk here. I've been a fan of the organization for about 40 years. So,
does the NFL have any teams in Texas?
What was that?
Does the NFL have any teams in Texas?
Yeah, we got a trash team called the Cowboys and another trash team called the Texans. But my question is, when Adoree went out the first time, it was reported as a knee injury, and then he came back in the game. He went out again, and then now it's been reported as a foot injury. So did he suffer two different injuries?
It's a good question, and it was a question that was asked of Mike Vrabel on Monday, and Mike Vrabel declined to answer it. He said, "You know, we'll see what
injuries.
He said we'll see what the injury report says on Wednesday. The injury report says foot. So, you know, at the very least, Adoree Jackson has a foot injury and maybe more."
Appreciate the call, Courtney. Have a good day.
And Courtney is somebody who's married to a lifelong Houston Oilers fan. She's right there with you. Long time fan.
Doesn't even acknowledge any of the other teams in Texas?
No. There are no other teams in Texas.
In Brentwood, it's Donald. Good morning. You're on the zone.
Hey, good morning, guys. Hey, I don't know if you heard any rumors about a couple coaches changes to be looking to come up, like Harbaugh going to Carolina and Rivera going to Dallas. Have you been hearing those?
No. I mean, there's always the annual Harbaugh's leaving Michigan, but I don't think he's leaving Michigan, and I don't think he'd leave Michigan. Well, you know, he might go to Carolina because Tepper would pay him, but I think he's going to stay at Michigan at least for another few years. But, yeah, he's one of the few established NFL coaches that are in the college game.
Yeah, you hear rumors all the time. I think, yeah, you're hearing Harbaugh rumors, especially after losing Ohio State for the nth time. So, yeah, you'll hear that. You've been hearing James Franklin's name. I think he's going to get an extension based off of the USC threat or whatever that may be. You just say the wind blows wrong and say, I may go to California or Florida, and then they'll give you an extension. So, yeah, there's a few guys that could probably move around. But, man, you're hearing all kind of coaches' rumor at this point. So I wouldn't put just anything the season, off the table. Yeah, I mean, it's just this time.
The Ron Rivera thing shocked me.
That was a little surprising. At least timing. I thought if they're going to do something, wait till after the season, but no.
I mean, he's a guy, if he wants a job, he'll get a job.
You think he'll
work
with the Giants? Mark, no?
Yeah.
I mean,
absolutely.
To me,
he can handle the media.
Right.
You know, and he is strong in his convictions. He's not going to be a guy who's changing quarterbacks every other week. Mm-hmm. I mean, he will, if it's Daniel Jones, he'll stand behind Daniel Jones. And they'll be good on defense. I mean, yeah.
Plus, he's worked with Dave Gettleman.
If they keep Gettleman.
If the Bears decide to make a change, that looks obvious to me there.
Yes,
you know,
because
he's got the ties to the to the Buddy Ryan, Mike Ditka years and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that I would think that would be another spot for him.
Oh, you think he's going to be on the
But he was so angry at his press conference the other day. He might just want to take a year and let them keep paying him. You know, I mean that.
Well, he was talking about his back-to-back.
Yeah, I mean, like clearly, three times.
That was not
one of these mutual parting of the ways that you hear so much these days. No, I mean he was not happy.
Yeah, that's the most you'll see him get. Little, I guess, controversial. And you know what? I appreciate it though. He was very honest. And all of that. He said, was it surprising that he got released? He said, absolutely it was. I was kind of shocked. If something like that was going to happen, I would think it would happen after the season's over with.
Yes, I agree. I just don't see the purpose.
Yeah, that's what he said.
It's not like college football where, you know, you got to, you know, start looking.
Maneuvering and trying to get guys.
And you know what? It, you know, by keeping him, that doesn't mean the owner can't compile a list or at least, you know, get some feelers. So I agree with you. I didn't think they treated him very well. He deserves better with what he's contributed to the franchise. And like you said yesterday, Blaine, not only a great coach, but a classy individual.
David, great to see you.
All right. Everybody have a good weekend.
Do the same. Enjoy the conference championship games coming up this week. And, of course, Titans and Raiders right here on the Zone on Sunday at 325. David is from SI.com from Sports Illustrated, and he is brought to you by the Tennessee Lottery. Give the gift of fun this year with holiday instant games from the Tennessee Lottery. You stop by your nearest Tennessee Lottery retailer and pick up some today. Coming up next is the Titans prep for Oakland. A former Titan talks about the team peaking at the right time, and we'll get into some hockey shortly. Christopher Martel will join us just after 8:15. Wake Up Zone continues next, 104.5 The Zone.